The reading this morning is from Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 16 to 21. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin. I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man, and he does not turn from his wickedness or evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns from righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before him, he will die. Since you did not warn him, he will die for his sin. The righteous things he did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live because he took warning, and you will have saved yourself. This is the word of the Lord.
I'd like to invite our kids up, those of you that are reading, and those of you that are not, I need a helping hand. And Raymond, wherever you are hiding, I need you too. We didn't warn Ray ahead of time that he was going to be in our play because we were frightened he wouldn't turn up. There might be some mysterious illness, so he's had a 2-second warning. Welcome to your Roman soldierhood. We'll wrap for you in a minute. All right, you guys come over here with me a minute. You can turn me off again because I don't need to know.
Paul made his way to Jerusalem, even though many of his friends warned him not to go. The Jewish people who did not believe in Jesus did not like Paul. Some of them told lies about Paul and tried to kill him. The Roman commander had him arrested. Paul spoke to the Jewish people and told them how how God had spoken to him and how Jesus had changed his life. They would not listen to him and he was put in prison. The Jews still planned to kill him. The commander sent Paul to Caesarea, where he told his story to Felix, the governor. Even though no one could prove that he had done anything wrong, he had to stay in prison for 2 years. Paul told Governor Festus and King Agrippa about Jesus and how he changed his life. They still did not free him. Finally, Paul said he wanted to go to the city of Rome and tell his story to the ruler of Rome, Caesar. Rome was a long way from the city of Caesarea, where Paul had to be kept prisoner. Paul had to sail in a ship. A special Roman guard named Julius had to stay with Paul at all times. Julius was very nice to Paul, and when the ship stopped at port, he would let Paul visit his friends. Bad storms made the trip very hard. Paul told the captain and the owner of the ship that it was very dangerous and that they should wait till the winter was over before they continued their voyage. The captain and the owner did not listen to Paul.
Soon everyone wished they had listened to Paul, because the storm grew even worse. The captain tried to dock the ship at an island called Crete, but the wind was too hard and blew the ship out to sea again. The sailors on the ship were so afraid that the ship would fall apart that they tried a rope it together. The storm kept blowing day after day. It was so bad that Paul and the rest of the people on the ship could not even see the sun during the day or the stars at night. It seemed like the ship was going to sink, so they threw everything on the ship into the sea. They even had to throw out most of their food. Everyone on the ship was scared and hungry. One day, Paul stood up and said to everyone on the ship, "You should have listened to me before. Be sure and listen this time, because I have good news. An angel came to me last night and gave me a special message from God. The angel said that none of us will die, but the ship will crash on an island. Now know that God will take care of us. Everyone should cheer up, because what the angel said is true. This must have seemed impossible to the people on the ship."
Finally, after 2 weeks, the ship got close to an island. It was the island of Malta. Paul told everyone not to worry. He told them to eat so that they would all feel better. The captain tried to sail the ship to the beach, but the ship crashed on some rocks. Everyone who could swim jumped into the water. Some of the people could not swim, so they floated on boards and paddled to shore. Some people on the ship wanted to kill the prisoners so that they would not escape. Julius took care of Paul and told the men that none of the prisoners should be killed. There were 276 people on the ship, and not one of them drowned. It was raining and very cold. The people of Malta began making a fire for the people from the ship. Paul wanted to help, so he began collecting sticks to put on the fire. Once, when he bent down to put one of the sticks on the fire, a poisonous snake jumped out and bit him. Paul shook the snake off and threw it into the fire. The island people could not believe what they saw. Anyone else who was bitten by a poisonous snake would die. Paul did not die. They thought he must be some kind of a god. Since the ship wrecked, all of the passengers had to find places to stay until another ship came. Paul went to the house of Publius, was on an important man on the island. Publius's father was very sick, so Paul prayed for him and the man's sickness went away. The islanders thought Paul was wonderful. All the sick people on the island came to visit Paul so he could make them well. Paul and Julius stayed on the island 3 months until another ship came and took them to Rome. Paul was a prisoner for 2 more years in Rome. Large numbers of people visited him, and he told them about Jesus. Some of them believed, but some did not.
Yes.
Oh, didn't wait for an invite, sorry. I'm not quite sure how you follow that, really. Bit dramatic over there. So, for those of you that don't know me, I'm Chris Caudle. I'm married to Shane. I volunteer here with our kids ministry. And if you haven't been here for the last few weeks, you might have gathered we've been talking about the Apostle Paul and his missionary journeys. And if you haven't got a clue who the Apostle Paul is, he started life as Saul. He was a Roman because he was born in Tarsus. He was a Jew. He was a Pharisee of the very strictest sect of Jews. And he made it his mission to persecute Christians. And it was on one such trip that he was on his way to Damascus to find Christians, or the way as they called them then, and drag them back to Jerusalem, that Jesus spoke to him. He blinded him with a bright light and he asked him, "Why are you persecuting me?" So he spent the next 3 days being blind until God sent a disciple, Ananias, to restore his vision. And he was baptized and immediately started preaching. And God had a very special job for him. He was to teach the non-Jews, the Gentiles, about Jesus. And sometime in the course of that, he became known as Paul, and we've been following his journey since then. Now, I had no idea what the songs were going to be today, but that's just how God works. Because they were absolutely perfect in what we're talking about today. They're perfect when we're thinking about what our role is with Jesus. So, we start our journey with Paul heading towards Jerusalem. It had been prophesied that if he went, he would be arrested. But he chose to go anyway because he knew that was where he was supposed to be. And they were right. He got arrested after the Jews tried to kill him, which our kids did a little too aggressively. But at this point, you think he might be a little salty against the Jews. If someone had just tried to kill me, I would probably think, well, you get what you deserve. I'm done with you. But that is not what he did. He asked for permission to speak to the Jews. And then he told the Jews his story. I, Paul, am a Roman. I am a Jew. I am a Pharisee. I persecuted Christians. I held the jackets of the people that were killing Christians, and God spoke to me. It was his story. Now, they didn't listen. He almost got killed again. They had to lift him up over the crowd and crowd surf him into the barracks. But that's not where it ended. Paul's fourth journey really wasn't a missionary journey. It is the journey of an imprisoned man. The entire fourth journey, Paul was a prisoner. So why does it look so much like a missionary journey? Well, it's because Paul lived his life on a mission. Everything that he did was about Jesus. He was so full of the Holy Spirit that he couldn't help but tell people his story. And look at all the people that got to hear his story because he was a prisoner that may never have heard it otherwise. He told the Jews. He told the Romans. He told the Roman guards. He told Felix and Festus and the Sanhedrin and King Agrippa and Bernice. Then we skip across the fateful journey to Rome. And he was a prisoner there for 2 more years before he got to talk to Caesar and make his case. And in those 2 years, it says when he first got there, he called the Jews to him and he taught them from morning to night. Then it says in the next 2 years, he welcomed everyone that would come to hear him. And some believed and some didn't. The important thing was he told his story. So how does that fit in with us? How is this relevant to us today? Well, we all have a story. Our story is different from Paul's, but we have a story nonetheless. And so often, we discount ourselves. When we were kids, we thought, well, we'll leave that to the grown-ups. Then when we're teenagers and college kids, we think, well, we'll share Jesus when we know more. And then we get busy, we raise families, we start careers, and we think, when I have time, when I'm older, then I'll tell people about Jesus. And then we get old, and then we discount ourselves because we think we're no longer relevant, and we'll just leave it to the young people. And we've wasted our entire lives. And when in our life did we ever have that chance? When did we ever tell our story? The other thing we discredit ourselves with is we say, I want to talk about Jesus. I don't know enough. I don't know the Bible. I can't quote scripture. What if someone asks me a question I don't have the answer to? Well, let me tell you, people will ask you questions you don't have the answer to. But people ask us questions every day that we don't have the answer to. If someone asks you for directions and you don't know the answer, you say, I'm sorry, I don't know. Would you like me to look that up for you? What's the difference? We don't have to be theologians. We don't have to be preachers. We don't have to be vicars. We don't have to be evangelists. The interesting thing in our reading this morning that Margaret did so beautifully for us was that God made Ezekiel a watchman. He told Ezekiel, if you do not tell these people of their impending doom, when they die in their sin, you will also be held accountable. But if you warn them, they will be accountable for their sin and you will not. Interesting. I don't want to be held accountable for anyone else's sin. I have enough of my own going on without trying to be accountable for someone else. If I haven't chosen to tell them about Jesus, if I haven't chosen to tell them that there's a real heaven and a real hell out there, that's on me. But notice the flip side of that. What they do with the information is not my responsibility. My responsibility is to tell people, to warn them. Once I've warned them, what they do with that is between them and God. My job is to speak my story. God's job is to convict their hearts, and their job is to give their hearts to Jesus. All I do is play my part, do my part, which is tell my story. Now, the other thing I hear a lot of is, well, I do good works. I do things for Jesus, but I just don't say anything about Jesus because I don't want to put people off. I don't want them not to come. But they know I'm a Christian. So it's all right. I'll just keep doing my good works. The problem with that is there are numerous organisations all over this world that seek to feed the hungry, to give clean water to the thirsty, to seek justice against injustices, to provide homes for the homeless, and they are all great organisations. If we do the same thing as they do, why do they care who is doing it? They're receiving the same thing. Why would they care if it's atheists, Christians, Jews, Sikhs, Muslims? The result is the same. Except that we have something more to offer them. We have hope. We have Jesus. If we take care of their needs, their physical needs, we've taken care of a short-term need. And we've missed the opportunity to give them hope. To give them hope now and hope for the future. We've missed the opportunity. We've failed. Now, I'm not discounting good works. James tells us faith without works is dead. Matthew 5:15-16 says, you don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, you put it on a stand so it gives light to all who see it. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven. Our good deeds. Paul, when he's on Malta, we don't hear about him preaching to the Maltese people. We hear about him doing good works. He healed the chief's father. And then he healed all the Maltese people that came to him. Deeds are important. But when I was a kid growing up in church, we were always told, it's easy to talk the talk, but it's harder to walk the walk. You have to feed a man before he'll listen to you about Jesus, because if he's hungry, he doesn't care. But the pendulum has swung too far the other way now. Now it's easiest to feed that man and much more difficult to tell him about Jesus. We have to walk the walk and we have to talk the talk. You can't separate them. So we've left Paul in Rome telling his story to Romans, to Jews, to anyone that will listen. Some believed, some didn't. What was Paul's story? Paul's story was always the same. He always started with his story, his personal relationship with Jesus. And no one can discredit you for your story. And you all have a story. Your story isn't, I've always been a Christian. Because at some point, we all made a decision for Christ. At some point, we decided that we were going to live our lives for Christ. That's why you're here today. At some point in your life, there was a time when you needed Jesus and he was there for you. There's a time that he's provided you comfort. There's a time that he's provided you direction. And that's your story. So this week, I want to challenge us all to go home and write our stories. We did this on a Sunday night quite recently, and it was very eye-opening to me. 2 minutes, no Christianese, no church lingo, just what is your story with Jesus? What has he done for you? How do you know Jesus? And then be ready to tell it. Now, if I'd have walked in here today and Amanda had said to me, hey, can you preach this morning? After having a bit of a minor heart attack, I might have said, yeah, of course, because the Holy Spirit can speak through me. The Holy Spirit can empower me. And the Bible tells us not to worry about what to say if we're being questioned, because the Holy Spirit will talk to us through us. But also, I feel a whole lot more prepared being here this morning, having known in advance that I was going to talk to you, having known in advance what the story of the Apostle Paul was and what I wanted to say to you. So my prayer this morning was, Holy Spirit, please don't make me nervous and speak through me. And if I'm sharing my story with someone else, with a non-Christian, It's the same thing. I want to know ahead of time. I want to have an idea what I'm going to tell them so that when someone asks me, well, who is Jesus? Or, why do you believe in Jesus? I don't want to go, oh, Holy Spirit, please give me words right now. I do, but I also want to know what I'm going to say. I want to know my story. And I want to just finish with the words of Jesus from Luke. In Luke 12, 8 and 9, if you have a red letter edition, it's in red. Jesus said it. And he said, if any man publicly acknowledge me here on earth, I will acknowledge them before God's angels. But if anyone disowns me before man, I also will disown them before the angels. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm really hoping when I get to heaven, I hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have served me well. You've run the race. You've done what I've asked. I don't want to get there and Jesus disown me, because I have chosen not to share his story here on earth. So let's close with prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Bible that gives us direction in life. We thank you for the example of Paul and for others that show us how to live our life for you. Lord, you have commanded us to be bold and courageous. You have told us never to be fearful, because you will be with us wherever we go. I pray that you loose our tongues and open our mouths to proclaim your word. That, Lord, we would live our lives on a mission for you. Lord, we pray these things in the name of your Son, our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, please.